Because tonight is about, really, even though we're talking about the prophets, it's really about grace telling another story. Catch again that second verse and chorus, because the lyric is just fantastic. Have you ever felt this sort of stuff going on? They say we cannot change. There is no other way. Get used to it, because this is all there is. They ring a few bells. You feel like you've heard that, either for yourself or heard other people saying it. They say, don't raise your voice, because frankly, we don't have a choice. We're dealt this hand, so learn to live with it. Which being translated means, here's a straw, suck it up. Well, I have to believe there must be something more. What is the something more? The something more is grace. We've been told that the heart is too far gone to save, but grace tells us another story. Where glory sends hopelessness away. How grace tells us another story. And I want to hear that story. And I want to sit with it as it's shared in those passages we heard before. And I want us to be part of that story. It's a story about how God empowers people. How God gets hold of lives like yours and mine and makes them into something different. We heard it already from Isaiah, where God's Spirit empowers people for compassion and for justice. And these for me have been favourite passages. Oh, no, I'm going to go there. Since I was your age. Okay, I remember hearing Isaiah 42 as a 19-year-old. Okay, you're all 19 now, all right? And yes. People are cheering for that for a whole bunch of different reasons. And Isaiah 42 still sits with me. This is a New Living Translation. I've bathed him with my spirit, my life. He'll set everything right among the nations. Or I think the new NIV is something like, behold my servant, on whom my soul delights. I'll put my spirit on him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out, or raise his voice, or let his voice be heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. Okay? So he's not going to be rowdy. He's not going to be a big song and dance routine. He's not going to be a tele-evangelist. But his compassion, his ability to see the thing which is just about to be snuffed out, the person who feels like they've been a reed snapped over, compassion is what's going to fire him so much that he will work to bring justice to the world. Similarly, in Isaiah 61, a little bit later on, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to whom? To the poor. Okay. People are going to experience God's work through God's servant. God's servant, every one of us here who would put our hand up and say, yeah, I want to be on God's business. So it's the first thing the Spirit did in Old Testament times, continues to do now. Empowers people, but doesn't empower them for some sort of narrow version of Christian ministry. Empowers them for the big, wide, beautiful task of showing compassion and bringing justice. And that's the task of God's people. Can I encourage you to read further, at least verses 1 to 4 of both of those passages sometime during this week, of Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 61, drink it in. It's beautiful to share. Another part of the story that God's saying, God empowers people, God restores people too. And these images are among the most provocative I think you'll find in Scripture. God's Spirit raises people up beyond their hopeless and lifeless state. And Mercy Me's song to me echoes of this. It's a place where we just feel hopeless. We feel there is no point raising our voice. There's no other choice. We're stuck with the situation we've got. We can't make a change. We are as lifeless as the image that Ezekiel shares there from Ezekiel 37. Okay? This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I'll put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. The back picture, the people of God think they've completely stuffed up their job, completely, utterly, cannot get any worse at who they're supposed to be. The image is they're like an army that has been slaughtered and their dried bones lie scattered across a valley. How annihilated can you be? So not just to have lost, not just to have run away, but to just be dry bones scattered across a valley floor. Powerful, powerful image. And even though it's as lost and hopeless as that, God's not beaten. God comes and says, I can make you live again. I can put flesh on those bones. I can put breath into those lungs. I can make you my people again, even though you are completely annihilated and useless. And sometimes the church feels just a spot annihilated and useless. Sometimes we feel like we're only a scrap of who we're supposed to be. Like personally as Christians and together as a church, we feel like, why try? It's because the Spirit of God is not done with me or with you yet. And the Spirit of God longs to breathe into us and cause us to keep living and breathing and serving again. And that's the opportunity. I don't care. I do not give the proverbial for how gone you might be. All I care about is that you would dare to turn towards God and say, yes, Lord, my future is with you and you're going to take me forward from here. Don't care about the backstory. I do care about the fact we're travelling forwards together. And then thirdly, God inspires his people. He fills us with a sense of future. A sense of future even when we're facing challenges and disaster. Okay? You didn't get to hear this Bible reading, so I need to share it with you now. It's from Joel chapter 2. And it turns up again in Acts of the Apostles for a whole bunch of other reasons. Then, after doing this, in other words, after God restores his people, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And in those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on servants, men and women alike. Can you get any sense how outrageously provocative that is for that time? For a time when men are the only people, in fact, suitably literate, educated men from the right families, they were the ones whom God spoke to and dealt with. Everyone else, you're spectators. In fact, if you're men, you're spectators. If you're women, you're kind of socially at the same level, just north of where the pet dogs are. Okay? It's only just some form of human. And Joel absolutely shakes the tree. Doesn't just shake the tree, he tears it out of the ground. Says, my Spirit's going to be on everyone equally. Men and women, young and old. No one's going to be out of the mix. Everyone's included in what God wants to do from here on. Everyone. Young will see visions. Old will dream dreams. And I have to confess that given the life expectancy of people in Joel's day, I'm definitely in the old category now. So I'm happy to dream some dreams. But the dreams, that kind of comes like this. The young will have a future. We'll have visions that will guide them their whole life. To me, the vision is a vision of something that God wants to do in our days, a vision that will steer us for all of our days. And the older ones, dreaming their dreams of something that will be achieved even beyond their life, that they can start contributing to now. They're not going to see the results of it, but we contribute to that future. That's the beautiful possibilities that God makes, opens up for us. Through what? Through the Spirit of God working on his people. It's a powerful, powerful image of what God longs to do in you and me. I want to give you a vision. I want to give you a dream. These images have risen for me in the last couple of days. It is, so to speak, another story. Because you and I are here not just to listen to another story. We're here to write another story. And to speak out that other story. And to live it and show it. My vision is like this. For God's Spirit to fill us with the compassion that we heard about in Isaiah, and with the breath that we heard about in Ezekiel, and with the visions and dreams that we heard about in Joel. And I want that so that every person in Canterbury who is seeking God can have a safe place to ask their questions. I reckon there's tons of people who got questions about God, but they're too afraid to say them. Because they think they're going to rock up to church and they're going to get told what to think straight up. Or they'll have to fit in with a whole bunch of other cultural expectations or whatever. Everyone needs a safe place to ask about God. And that we could be a church that can be such a safe space. That every young person has a vision that fills their future. That God opens the horizons for them and gives them something to live for. And that every older person has dreams that inspire them even beyond this life, that they can live every day knowing that they're sowing into something beyond them. It's a dream and a vision that I long to see unfolding in Canterbury. And this is more to the news of this week, that every person who has a disability can access a church. And I've got to say, again, straight up, churches are appalling in the way they manage folk with disability. From physical environments to, you know, your ability to be able to read properly. If you've got a serious vision impairment, how hard would it be to participate in church just because we stick stuff up on the screen all the time? Or if you have trouble standing, or if you can't stand at all, but we stand up and sit down all the time. Every person having the opportunity to access church. And that every isolated, housebound person has someone to come and visit them. Imagine what it would be like if you didn't have a choice, but you had to stay at home because you can't get out your front door and no one comes to see you during the week. Sorry, you might get the Meals on Wheels person who drops in for about a minute and a half to leave you your meal and then shoot through again. No one should have to face that situation. And yet in this part of town, because of the sort of town it is, there's heaps of people who are housebound, one single person households. One household in four in this area is a one person household. Now, many of those people are quite well and quite going quite nicely, but there's a whole lot of folk who are really isolated too. That every child can play and learn in absolute warmth and safety. The church has a ton to learn about this, and we know about the Royal Commission into Child Abuse and stuff, and we know churches have done not just appallingly, they've been evil places. in that way, and that we will be a place which is absolutely rock solid in its sense of safety and security for kids. And similarly for teenagers as well. That every teenager in Canterbury has a trusted friend, has someone they know has got their back. And they've got an adult who believes in them too. And in church settings, I want to ramp that up and say an adult who is not their parent who believes in them too. Because it's such a gift to have someone else who believes in you and listens to you too. I'm nearly done. But these longings, frankly, these longings aren't done. That every parent has backup beyond their own family members. Every parent knows that there's someone else whom they can connect with in this task of bringing up these little ankle biters, and that they're not alone and they're wrestling with that. And furthermore, the grandparents aren't the only other people who are carrying the can either, but there is a wider community that supports them and strengthens them. And that everyone who's in the workplace has someone who's encouraging them in that workplace as well, helping them to do a better job, helping them to know that what they're contributing is valuable. And may this be real so that every one of us can discover the compassion and justice of God, can discover the life of Jesus, his son, and know the Spirit, God's ongoing life among us all. Can we do this? Too right we can. We can be the connectors. We can be the ones who connect the ancient stories, ye olde ancient stories of Jesus, with the life of God working in us, and connecting that with the neighbours, the people we sit with at school, the people we ride with on the train, the people we hang with outside of school time, that we are connecting into God's life and that we are part of the future God wants to bring into this place. That grace tells another story and your life and my life tell that other story by the choices we make. So I'm so delighted that you're here. It's so cool that you are here as that first step in that journey. And that from here you connect up in other ways as well, small groups and whatever. And that at the same time you keep your connections with friends and others who are not part of this community, because I so don't want to belittle that either. It's really important that you keep widely and well connected. But your life's going to tell another story because God's Spirit's moving in it. Lord, let that happen. Let me pray.